people are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
The drought in California has been going on for 4 years, and most parts of the state are now facing mandatory reductions in water use. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and on this episode of the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing, we'll be hearing from John Coleman, longtime member of the board and past president of EBMUD, the East Bay Municipal Utility District, which provides water for the entire East Bay. John represents Ward 2, which includes Alamo, Lafayette and Walnut Creek, town of Danville, communities of Blackhawk and Diablo, and portions of Pleasant Hill and San Ramon. Additionally, John serves as president of the Association of California Water Agencies, board of directors, is a board member of Freeport Regional Water Authority, is CEO of the Bay Planning Coalition, which represents maritime and shoreline interests and issues in Northern California, and the list goes on. Basically, if it has something to do with water, John is there. John, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for making time for us.
Great. Thank you. Looking forward to it.
So it seems that the drought is cyclical in California. I've lived here now for 40 years, and it's drought, it's not drought. What makes this drought different or worse than what we've weathered in the past?
The drought this time has been measured against the drought of all droughts, which was the 76-77 drought, some 40 years ago, which was then the worst drought of all times. What has happened this time is the drought has gone on for a longer period. And what made things unusual this year, we had a very wet December in 2014. And in the coastal range, we had a lot of water. And people thought, the drought is over. Well, unfortunately, the water, the clouds and the rain and snow didn't quite make it to the Sierra Nevadas, which provides 60% of the water for the state of California. It stayed relatively dry, or the snow level was so high that it didn't have an impact. And then they went dry in January, February, and March, and wasn't until May that we had some good weather.
Now, can you explain what Governor Brown mandated just this past spring regarding water use and why the implications seem to vary from region to region?
So the governor's imposed a 25% reduction based on usage in 2013, and the State Water Resources Control Board has a governing authority in the state, especially under the emergency powers that the Constitution of the state grants the governor, to be able to do extraordinary decisions. So he is looking, justifiably and rightly so, that we have a severe situation. We have absolutely no idea if we're going to have a wet winter next winter or not. If we don't and the drought continues, the economic implications as well as environmental implications statewide and nationwide are enormous. So the governor's been very prudent. He's asking everybody to cut back on an average of 25%. The numbers that came out just recently show that in the month of May and June, those numbers have been exceeded on a statewide basis. The reason each area varies is some areas have reduced their water consumption by a great deal, or they don't use that much to begin with. So to cut back further makes it more difficult when they've already been cutting back for such a long period of time. What it does not take into account is when an agency or district has been storing water, what's called banking it, or developing new waters, whether it's recycled or desalinization. And that, unfortunately, was not part of the governor's edict. We're hoping that as the drought continues, if it does continue, that that will be worked out so agencies that have made those investments, in some cases of billions of dollars, will be able to at least take that into account on their water needs and water cutbacks.
So in some regions, though, there is a mandatory cutback. And in others, I live in Marin County, and we don't have one. I'm not sure why.
Well, what happened was in Marin a year ago, you did have mandatory cutbacks, and then all your water is local water that basically falls on Mount Tamalpais and goes into the local reservoirs. December, you had your filled your reservoirs completely, where a year ago at this time, your reservoirs were in Marin County were very low, and as a result, you had mandatory cutbacks. And I suspect in Marin County, they're going to still exceed the 25% reduction based on the usage in 2013. most parts of the state are now in a mandatory cutback of some degree. At East Bay Mud, we're asking our customers to cut back 20% from 2013, even though the state has given us a number of 16%. We're trying to be prudent and have people cut back a little further because, again, we don't know what is in store for next year. So any water we can keep behind our reservoirs, and if it's a dry year, is beneficial for our customers in 2016.
What will East Bay Mud's role be in monitoring these cutbacks?
Well, we have an aggressive water conservation program. We've actually hired more staff in our budget this year to work with customers, both single-family homes, multifamily homes, and the business community, to make sure that people can meet their cutback needs. We're not approaching it at East Bay Mud with a hammer standpoint. We're actually using the carrot approach, and trying to work with folks. If we get a complaint that somebody's wasting water, we'll go and visit the property, the home, if it's a home, and work with them. And we find over 90% of the time working with the customers actually resolves the issue, because some cases they have no idea that they may have been wasting water because they may not have been home when the sprinklers were running and they had a broken sprinkler and they may not have realized it or something along that line. So what we're trying to do is work with the customers rather than hitting them with a fine.
So is that a region-by-region situation? Are there some places where if users fail to meet the mandatory reductions, they get dinged on their bill or some fined in some way?
Yeah. They can be fined up to $500 per violation by the state, because of the state actions. There's discussions of increasing that to a higher amount. There are certain parts of the state that are using the fine system in order to make sure customers comply. I would suspect it's in most cases, like in Santa Cruz last year, they had fines in place, and they had a water school similar to a driving school. If you got a ticket, you could pay the ticket, or you could go to driving school. In this case, you went to a water education school, and that you got your fine waived, and that was very successful. We're going to see, we don't know, again, what next year is going to bring, and if it's a dry year, you're going to see more fines being applied. Now, East Bay Mud, we do have the ability, if somebody is not going to cut back and they're using water and they really don't care, we ultimately have the authority to do not only the fine, but we can put a flow restrictor on at the meter, which essentially means they can take a shower and that's about it, and flush the toilet. And if need be, we have the ability to actually turn their meter off and deny them any water service.
John, overall, how does East Bay Mud work with affordable housing developers?
We'll work in the planning stages very closely through our water conservation department to make sure that the everything that goes into an affordable housing home has the necessary products to make sure that the people reduce their water. We'll also work with the affordable housing developer once the home is built with the people living in those units so that they can they need buckets to collect the water from. For example, I have a bucket in my shower, so when I'm waiting for the water to get hot, that water is collected as I do in my kitchen sink for vegetables and washing hands. All that water goes into my potted plants. I don't use a hose on them. I use buckets of water that I capture in the house, and we'll work with the customers in an affordable housing development. We also offer free gadgets, whether they be nozzles or for showers. We have kits that they can go online if they're an East Bay Mud customer, and we'll send them a kit in the mail and water conservation items that they need free of charge. And that way, if they have a leak, they'll be able to detect it and they can get it fixed. And we encourage leaks to be fixed. And we also have affordable housing developments have a master meter, I believe, under state law. And if they have a master meter in their development, they have the ability to get up to a $25,000 credit towards their bill by doing more water conservation that's approved by East Bay Mud, whether it be landscaping or inside the house.
So what's tricky for landlords like Eden is we are required to pay for tenants' water usage, and that makes it hard to enforce conservation efforts with any sort of financial penalty. So at East Bay Mud, have you thought about how you might work with groups like Eden to create incentives for tenants to conserve?
Yeah, what we'll do is if there's a Eden Housing development in our service area, and I would suspect in almost any service area if it's outside of East Bay MUD, the agency will go. We go to HOAs, we go to group meetings all the time with our water conservation staff. We hand out the information that people need to know and what to look for and how to fix problems. And we will go to an Eden Housing development and meet with all your customers and our customers in a group meeting if that's what's needed to show what needs to be done. You know, what we're finding in this drought, and the numbers have reflected in the paper that came out today on how much water's been saved in the months of May and June, that this is really a collective experience. It doesn't matter where one lives or whether it's affordable housing, non-affordable, high-rise, multifamily, whatever. Everybody is cutting back an equal amount because there's no way anybody cannot turn on the radio or TV or open a newspaper or turn on the internet for that matter and not see that we're in a serious drought in California. What we want to make sure is people use water wisely. They don't waste it. We're not telling people to let your landscaping die. If you have a lawn, yeah, you can go brown, water it twice a week. But like the trees and shrubs, they play an important part of the environment as well as the housing experience for where people live. We want to make sure that those that vegetation does not die in this drought. And we'll work with you and anybody in our service area to provide the tools that will allow them to continue living in a clean, safe environment, but at the same time conserve water.
John, is the idea that people will have a real shift in their long-term practices? Because this is not going to be the last drought, right? We want to reduce water consumption overall.
Right. Well, we have. And one thing to keep in mind, I'm going to use East Bay MUD as a perspective because that's what I'm most familiar with. We had in 1976, as I mentioned, that was the drought of all droughts. Our population in our service area has gone up by over 30% between 1976 and 2015. Our water usage is now approaching 45% less than what it was in 1976, even with the population growth. So people have developed over the years a water ethic of not wasting water. Now, it's going to be more difficult in each subsequent drought for people to cut back further and further because they're already institutionalizing it with the low-flow toilets, aerators on their shower heads, the kind of landscaping that they're putting in and using drip irrigation, which is all great because it does save water. But subsequent droughts will be more difficult to deal with, and that's why at East Bay MUD, we've diversified our portfolio of water options. We just don't have water behind reservoirs anymore. We're doing recycled water. We're doing groundwater storage. We're going to be looking into the future of stormwater. We're studying desalinization on a regional level. So what we're looking at is a portfolio of options. So in future droughts, we can ask people to conserve, keeping in mind they have conserved, but you can only conserve to a certain point. And then it becomes a real burden. And once it becomes a real burden, that's when you lose the customers on the ability to do what you need to have done.
Some people talk about how the bulk of the water in the state is used by agriculture. Is everything you're talking about aimed at the individual residential user? And is it a totally different game for agribusiness?
No, it's not. I mean, about 40% of the water goes for agriculture. About 40% goes towards the environment, and the remaining 20% goes for industrial municipal. And what's easy to do is to, and the governor realized this in terms of the municipal industrial, the Oaklands and Walnut Creeks of the world, that, you know, there's ornamental lawns. They look nice, but do they really serve a purpose in a serious drought like this? No, they don't. I think the governor realizes that from a food production standpoint, ag is an extremely important partner in our economy. And what a lot of people don't realize, for example, the Port of Oakland right here in the Bay Area, there's about 73,000 jobs that are union jobs, good paying living wage jobs. And yet 48% of what they export out of the Port of Oakland is ag. That's products that are produced in California. So as we are cutting back on our ag production with the drought, those are also jobs that are just union-paying jobs that are disappearing here in the Bay Area, And then you have an ancillary effect of the other businesses that are impacted. So what we need to do is in ag, we need to make sure that the water is being used as efficiently as possible, as we do in cities and in the environment. A lot of people don't realize that a lot of the water, the federal contracts for the federal water, the last 2 years, farmers have gotten zero allocation. They've gotten no water for the contracts. The state water contractors, last year, they got a zero allocation for ag, and this year I think they're 10% of allocation. So what's happening is you're having the water the fields are going fallow, or in some cases they're selling their water to people like East Bay Mud, and then we're able to minimize our drought impacts, or they're drilling wells deeper and deeper to tap into the underground reservoirs, but that's having an environmental effect as well. So each action has a reaction, and so we need to be very careful in how we approach this.
How long do you think cutbacks are needed? Or to put it another way, how many good rain seasons do we need to get back to normal operating water levels?
Yeah, that's funny. If we have a normal year next year in our service area in East Bay Mud, we will fill our reservoirs. So will San Francisco, Marin County. Now, if we relied strictly on the state or federal water system for our water deliveries, and to a large extent Santa Clara Valley and Zone 7, and Contra Costa Water, they get a lot of their water from either the state or federal system. The state and federal system is in dire shape. If you go to Lake Shasta or Folsom Lake or New Maloney's and look at the reservoirs, they're extremely low, and they're almost to the point, in some cases like Folsom, non-functioning. It's going to take multiple years of wet years to get those levels of water back to a normal. A lot of agencies, again, like East Bay Mud and San Francisco Marin, we have a normal year next year. We will have our reservoirs full.
John, thank you so much for your insights today.
Great. I enjoyed it. Anytime. Just feel free to get a hold of me.
Thank you. John Coleman, Director, East Bay Municipal Utilities District, representing Ward 2 in Contra Costa County. I'm Joanne Green. To listen to previous episodes of the Affordable Housing Podcast and to subscribe so that you automatically receive new episodes, search for Eden Housing on iTunes or visit edenhousing.org.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.